Craig, wait. Let me get everybody. Hey, everybody, Craig's going to do it.
Oh, shit, he's going to do it again.
Oh, yeah. Craig's going to do it.
Who's Craig?
Let's do this, Craig.
I don't know who Craig is.
Alright, welcome to episode 7 of One More Podcastle, which will be a somewhat special Halloween episode. As I was saying, my name is Eric Bailey. I am a toilet paper mummy and the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
I am Hunter, and I am the audio engineer, and I am to be referred to as the Juggernaut.
My name's Angel Carrero. I'm the technical editor at One More Castle, and I misplaced my sexy Littlefoot costume.
Oh, best Land Before Time reference ever. So we hope everyone is in the Halloween spirit tonight, because we certainly are. It's going to be a great podcast. How are you guys? What's up? Have you had any time to play any old video games?
Yeah. I have during the whole move and thing. Finally got everything figured out and set up and ready to go. All moved in. I've been playing Mega Man X2.
Ooh.
The Super NES. Not too happy with it.
What?
I'm a big fan of Mega Man X. A big fan of Mega Man X. And X2, I don't know, maybe I'm just not in it that far, or nothing really makes any sense, and all the Mavericks got silly names, and I don't know. Maybe I just got to keep playing it through. I'm just not, I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me for some reason.
I can relate. I'm one of those people who always preferred the NES Mega Man games, so I have no room to talk either.
And then other than that, to kind of fill in with Jason not being here, I've actually been playing Z-Demon, which is an online multiplayer of Doom.
He would be so proud of you.
I know.
So is that a mod?
No, it's not actually. it's basically just an online server that you can just, like in the old days, you know, when you had your dial-up baud modems and you can play against, you know, your friends and stuff. It's kind of the same idea, but just in a, you know, like a nowadays kind of thing. There are different WADs that you can play that have different weapons and stuff. I guess those would can be considered mods, but there is also a Chex Quest server running, and I played quite a bit. Yeah, brand new levels. Probably the there's all different kinds of game modes. There's like a cooperative game mode, one-on-one, team deathmatch, capture the flag. My favorite one is the co-op, because it's kind of like you and like however other many people who are on the server with you, and you go into the level and just destroy everything. And like you'd open a door and there'll be like 80 imps just like, oh, hey, how's it going? And they'll just start throwing fireballs. And you're like freaking out and shooting and stuff. Oh, it's a blast.
Sounds like it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Jason is absent tonight because he is in Cuba celebrating at a resort. And by celebrating, I mean partying with his communist brothers. So we hope he's having a great time.
We do.
We do.
Sincerely.
Genuinely.
Oh, I miss him.
I do too. Let's move on quickly. Andrew, what games have you been playing?
I have been playing two games, not strictly retro, but they are remakes of retro games. Does that count? Is that okay?
That's close enough. We'll let it slide.
the court will allow it.
Is
it?
Yes.
It's not a mod, is it?
No, it's not a mod. They're...
Oh, then you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah. the two games are Another World and Broken Sword. They're both remakes of old PC games, but I've got playing them on my Android device. Another World is this kind of, it's like an adventure game, but there's not really any dialogue. It's just more, you have to do the specific steps in each, I guess it's not really adventure game, it's more of an action game. But the problem is with it is that you have to...
I remember this game. The first time I played this game was on the Genesis, I think.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, it says that it was on the genesis as well. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page now because I know actually very, very little about it. I was just like, I saw that it was a retro game and I was like, okay, well, I always want to take in different parts of, you know, gaming history whenever I can. So I thought this is a good opportunity. It's on a device I can kind of just lay on the couch with or whatever. I can
there you go.
On the subway or whatever. But the problem is with it is that the controls aren't the best and the game is pretty punishing on its own.
Yeah, like a lot of pitfalls and stuff if you don't make the jump right and that kind of thing.
It's not so much reflex-based or skill-based. It's just more, oh, you didn't know that there was a hole there? Guess you could try about that next time. So there's a lot of trial and error, and the save points aren't as, I guess, generous as my attention span will allow. So I haven't really played too much of that, but Broken Sword's been pretty good so far. It's a point and click adventure game. It was released in 96 originally, and this is like the remake for Android, so it's not too bad. I can see myself
getting wrong with 90s point and click games. Those are classic.
Definitely. Do either of you play was it the Longest Journey?
Not that one, no. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, Eric, Hunter, have you please tell me you played The Longest Journey.
The name sounds familiar. Hold on a second. Let me.
Oh, man, guys.
No, never. No, never.
Nope.
Okay, well, maybe I'll have to actually write up a post about it on Warmer Castle at some point because it's really, really good.
Wait, is this Longest Journey? Is it a PC game?
Yeah, it's a PC game.
Oh, I don't play PC games.
Oh, man, guys. Killing me.
Nobody games on the PC.
You know what? You know what? Jason and I are going to make our own podcast. It's going to have mods and whatever.
It's going to be whatever we want. You can't say no.
No girls allowed.
No Eric's allowed.
That actually works in this context.
So, I've been playing a couple old games.
Oh, Bailey, I forgot you were there. What have you been playing?
Actually, nothing exciting.
Oh.
I know. Anyone following the Nintendo Legend blog knows that I've been playing military-themed shoot-em-ups lately, like 1942 and 1943, and a little Sky Shark to hone my skills on that. So if you're into vertically scrolling shoot-em-ups, that's what I've been playing.
Now,
so.
I played 1943 on an arcade machine before.
Oh, and nice.
The structure of it is meant for you to die really fast and to use up all your quarters. How does it translate onto the NES?
It's funny you mention that because the NES iteration is still very challenging, but it's a smidge more forgiving. You have an energy meter that as long as you keep that loaded as much as you can, you don't die super quick. But what I don't like is it's always decreasing as you fly. So if you get into a long boss fight or you just haven't found extra fuel in a while, you can die just flying through the air. But it's also, you can have passwords. So obviously that's the biggest difference is you can return to a level that you've gotten to before, which obviously in the arcade, they want you to pump your quarters from the very beginning. But then again, anytime you have a vertically scrolling shooter, they don't tend to port well because the arcade cabinets have those nice vertically oriented cabinets where the screen is like twice as tall as it is wide. Doesn't always translate the best onto a television, but 1943 is one of the better ones. 1942 sucks, but 1943, good stuff.
It sounds like you're a wine snob. 1942, terrible year.
Yeah. 1943, however.
I will say that 1942 was the first video game I ever made.
Like you are the author of 1942.
Yeah, I made a clone of it. Like.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, no.
I thought you were just making outlandish
claims. I wouldn't make this garbage. I will say, Bailey, one of the things I really like about your blog is the over-excessive amount of screenshots. I love that.
I'm glad to hear that because I went through like 170 reviews without any screenshots, and all it took was one guy who said like, hey, why don't you do screenshots? And I was like, oh.
Why don't I do screenshots?
So it takes a little more time, but it's totally worth it. If you look at some of my older blog entries, they're actually kind of embarrassing in how bare bones and scantily clad they are.
But yeah, look at that theme. That is a nice WordPress theme.
It really is.
Did you make that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Carrero did the spiffy graphics all over NintendoLegend.com. So, and if you need him to work on your website, just get in touch.
I was going to say, Andrew, you need to hop over to my blog and see what you can do with it.
We should edit out that. Hey, Andrew, come work for us. Because I'm going to get like, hey, I need you to make my Tumblr theme. I am 13 years old. I've PayPal'd you a dollar.
But no, the screenshots is, I'm huge on screenshots. Like, I kind of get bored looking at watching videos because it's like they always do it from the beginning to the end. It's like, no, I want to see the middle. I don't care what the intro looks like. I don't care what the outro looks like. I want to know what the middle is.
Yeah, yeah. And the good news is for the past 10 to 15 reviews, maybe even less, I've started making the screenshots bigger. So if you go back a little, like a page or two, you'll see they used to be smaller. But I was like, screw that. No, if I'm going to do them, I'm going to do it big.
Yeah, dude, this ain't the old dial-up days. You can have as many pictures on this bad boy as you want.
That's right.
Oh, you even got the list on here? Man, I got to start checking out your blog more. I was thinking about doing something like this too, but
I've heard that before.
A bit of a commitment.
Yeah, and I was thinking like, what? You only gave Gilligan's Island half of a star?
Game sucks.
What?
I've been playing Super Puzzle Fighter like crazy on the main cabinet at work.
Good choice. Yeah, Puzzle Fighter is good times.
Yeah, I'm kind of addicted. I just see gems. I just need to hook up in gems.
They're everywhere.
It's either coins or gems every game, man. Are you playing like Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo or?
It's Super Puzzle Fighter 2, and it's myself and two QA guys who essentially dominate the main cabinet at most lunches.
Nice.
They generally beat me because I don't make it down as much as I'd like to. But I mean, like after like an hour of playing that, I'll go back to my computer and I'll be like, just like with my hands shaking, looking at windows, trying to be like, oh man, where's the gem? Oh no, I don't have the gems here. I gotta make code. Gems.
Stupid work.
Yeah, pretty much. But yes, I am now ready now that I said my bit about Puzzle Fighter and got it out of my system.
No, I'm glad you mentioned it because those are quality games and I like puzzle games myself, so I dig it.
Except Tetris, I mean, for some reason.
Like, well, I it's only annoying because I'm bad at it. I think it's an awesome masterpiece of a game. I just suck at Tetris. That's all there is to it. Tonight's discussion question is kind of spooky, so I understand if you guys want to wait a little bit and gather your courage.
I'm okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. What is the scariest enemy from a retro game?
Oh, man. This was a tough one because, I don't know, like your typical scary isn't scary to me. Like what scares me the most in anything, movies or haunted houses or anything like that, is people just jumping out at you or coming out of nowhere. That's what really frightens me. And the only thing I could think of that was like that in a video game was Nemesis from the Resident Evil series.
Yep.
Because, like, you'd just be trucking it down the hallway, and you'd be like, oh, man, I got this key card, and I can ribbons and save my game, and the Nemesis will come crashing through the wall, and you're like, oh, shit!
Stars.
Oh, it's terrible. That is frightening to me. I couldn't play through the game, because I just couldn't stand the fact that, and they're like, well, you know you could kill him. I'm like, oh, okay, so I killed him, which took forever to kill him. Oh, and he comes back 20 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
So he's not really dead.
You can kill him every time. He'll just keep coming back.
He's like a hulking Kool-Aid man made out of microwaved meat. He's terrifying.
It doesn't help that he's on the cover of the box either.
Why does that make it scarier?
Because it makes it scarier because when you see the box art with him, you're like, oh, okay, I'm guessing he's in the game. So you're already prepared mentally for this character. And then when I'm playing it, I still, you know... Still scares the shit out of me, so...
It's Nemesis calling you out from the game case. Like, you walk into the EB Games, Nemesis looks you dead in the eye saying, I'm coming for you, Hunter. I'm coming for you.
I was just totally ready for an embarrassing personal story. Like, well, I keep the game case above my bed, and sometimes at night, I can see Nemesis looking at me from the shadows.
No, I sold it.
Oh,
I couldn't stand it. I sold it.
That's commitment. Andrew, did you think of any scary... retro game enemies?
Yes, I did. I have two that I brought, probably because I won't talk too long about either of them. But the first one is the Re-Deads from Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
The scariest freaking thing is just walking along, having the camera just freak out on you so you don't know what's behind you. And then you have this tall thing jump on your back and start just, like, I didn't even want to think about it. It's so creepy. It used to freak the heck out of me when I was playing it for the first time, because I would just mash the controller and just be like, get off. Oh, my God, get off me.
Because if, like, they jump in the front of you, they're humping your face, and it has that loud pitch screaming noise, and it makes you scream, and it's absolutely terrifying. I agree.
Yeah, and then, like, when it screams and then you're frozen in place, it's like it turns to you, and then just like the Nemesis, it looks you dead in the eye, saying, "I'm coming for you. Just wait. Just stay right there." And then you say, "I don't want to stay right there," but you don't have a choice.
Frozen in fear.
The second thing I brought is the sun from Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh.
Yes, or the face.
From Super Mario Bros. 2?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Similar enemies, yeah.
Because both of these things, like, well, I'll take the sun for example. You can't kill the sun. At least you can't, right?
Like, you can. Get a turtle shell.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay, well, it's a little less scary now, but...
But for you, who didn't know?
Me, at the time, I was just walking along. Okay, that sun doesn't look too happy with me, but whatever, he's up there. Oh, what are you? Oh my God! And then I would just be booking it across the level with the sun making crazy passes at me. I mean, there's one thing to be going against something you can just hop on or something that's your size, but you are literally having a celestial body with a vendetta against your person.
Body like that, no wonder he was making passes at you.
Whoa.
Oh, God.
No, but I agree, though. Like, I think one of the worst things about it was that, because those levels in particular are already so difficult, because you have to watch where you're jumping and the quicksand and all that stuff. And then you have this stupid sun, and you got to, you know, like, rainbow jump over it just to get out of the way. And you're always like, oh, I'm almost there. And, like, you come that close to getting slammed by him.
Yeah, what a jerk.
Yeah, so both of them terrifying.
Does he have a name? Does that son have a name?
It cannot be spoken.
What about you, Bailey?
This is kind of funny. I thought of a lot, and I didn't think I would, because I don't remember being scared of a lot of retro game enemies, but I thought of so many, I'm going to restrict myself to just the franchises you two mentioned, because I have one from the Resident Evil series and one from the Mario series, so... From Resident Evil, for me, the liquor in Resident Evil 2. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? God,
liquor. Liquors are the worst.
So, man, the intro to the game is so intense, and you're going through the destroyed remnants of Raccoon City. You're facing off with the pawn shop guy. You're going through alleyways, and you make it to the police station, and you think, oh, it's a safe haven. Everything's going to be okay. I can reload, restock, recharge, ready to go. You turn down the wrong hallway, and there it is on the ceiling, the most ghastly thing you've ever laid eyes on. And it has this long, icky tongue, and it wants to eat you, and it's gross. Ugh. The liquor.
It was also worse just because, since the liquor was on the ground and the aiming system was so terrible, you'd just be shooting at a meter or two in front of his face. And you'd be like, oh my gosh, why am I not hitting this guy? Oh, he's coming for me. Oh my God. Oh God.
And not only that, those games are so scarce with ammo. It's like, you don't want to shoot at it because you don't want to lose your ammo. But then the second you do and you miss and the thing's all over you, it's...
And then you're doing that thing where you're aiming at the ground and you're like swiveling back and forth as you walk backwards into a corner, firing your pistol over and over, just trying to hit the stupid thing in the face.
And then the fixed camera keeps switching back and forth The one pixel up and one pixel back, the camera keeps switching.
Yep, absolutely.
Did they respawn, or were like, once you killed the liquor, it was dead?
I'm pretty sure they were dead once they were dead in this case.
Yeah, I don't think they came back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good, because I know that in Dino Crisis, you would kill a Velociraptor and then you come back thinking like, ah, yeah, I'm the king of this sect. Nope, you got another Velociraptor.
I think, was it the GameCube remake of the original Resident Evil, where, unlike the original version, if you killed a zombie with a headshot, like if their head exploded, then halfway through the game, all of them come back as Crimson Heads, and they're more powerful zombies? That was scary stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So that was another thing, too, because that just got me, because the whole zombie thing, and that's all creepy, too, especially that first cinematic when he's chomping down on that Stars member or the Bravo member.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to thinking, that was something that really creeped me out, was because you'd mow down all these zombies and then you'd walk out of the room and then come back and the bodies were gone.
Yeah.
Like that, just the whole time, it's like, where the hell did it go? Like,
yeah, that's unsettling.
Like, I don't know if it was something that the programmers were like, no, this would be creepy as balls, let's do that. Or if the fact it was just something they forgot to program in.
I mean, I bet they did it just because of the hardware limitations, but you're right, it does add something. Because I remember doing that, you'd shoot a couple zombies, go through a door, come right back, and they'd be completely gone.
This is a good connection, because my the game I brought for the Retro Showdown talks a lot about hardware limitations and how it influences fear.
The crappy game that you brought for the Retro Showdown?
The most excellent game, and you will agree with me.
At least not on the podcast, I won't.
You guys can make fun of my other choice if you'd like, because it's from the Mario series. But if you think about the psychology of the character, Wario.
Okay, go on.
Please explain.
Initially, in the Game Boy games, like Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, he's the villain. And he's kind of like Mario.
But isn't he just like a rich guy who is kind of a jerk?
He's rich because he kills everything in sight and takes their coins and builds these enormous mansions for himself.
Well,
and
yeah, that's how you get rich.
Right. You guys don't think that's an evil, scary thing? And then he's kind of like Mario. So it's like, is this like his twisted cousin or weird half-brother they kept in the basement for 20 years? Or what's going on with this guy?
He's got 11 fingers.
Yeah, he might.
Which helps him to be good at tennis.
Yes, by the time he's playing in sports games and driving Mario Karts, he's not as scary or disturbing or twisted. But I think he deserves some thought as a villain. He's scary stuff.
No, you make a pretty good point.
Yeah.
Because I think just in the entire series of Mario, he probably is Bowser's scary, but he's scary for a different reason. I mean, he's a dinosaur, for God's sakes, but Wario, he's more, I mean, there's a game called Twisted that he's in, and he's a twisted character.
Yeah, because Bowser is kind of like an animal. He's a beast, whereas Wario, he's human. He's just evil. What a turd.
That's a good one, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Guys, have any other thoughts on scary retro enemies?
No, I got nothing.
All right, then before we hit the showdown, let's take a musical interlude break. Crash Man, a Mega Man 2 remix by Mega Beardo for you fans of some delightful guitar play. Good work, Mega Beardo. But now it is time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those of you who don't know, the Retro Showdown is where each of us has chosen a retro game. We have 2 minutes to present the game and why it is clearly the best one picked of the three, and then we'll just have an all-out argument about them. 2 episodes ago, the winner was Mr. Bones from Hunter.
The Juggernaut.
Yes, the Juggernaut. Episode 5, it was by far the most votes we've had, which is encouraging. Won over my Kid Icarus pick and Jason's Team Fortress Classic. Remember, you still have time to vote on Episode 6. In other words, vote for Satan of Saturn, because I can use some help. Otherwise, Hunter's going to win 2 in a row.
The Juggernaut.
But since Jason is absent tonight, Andrew has courageously volunteered to be our timekeeper. So whenever he tells me to go, I'm going to open with my scary, spooky, slightly Halloween-themed game.
When you're ready.
All right. Tonight, I am going back to my specialty, the NES, choosing a 1989 release that was published by Bandai, a little side-scrolling platformer called Monster Party. Monster Party is a delightful game, very distinctive and memorable. You'll come across a lot of retro gamers that pleasantly remember this game and have a lot of nostalgia for it. And the storyline is a little weird, but kind of cool. You're a baseball bat-wielding kid named Mark, who has merged with a flying, fireball-breathing monster named Bert. And you transform back and forth throughout the gameplay, collecting certain tokens to become Bert because he's more powerful. And generally, you're exploring crazy, creepy environments while beating bosses in special rooms, collecting keys, and going through the doors to the next level. It's a challenging game. There's not a lot of games like it. And there's some strange visuals throughout. On the first level, there's an enemy consisting of two legs sticking out of the ground that are kicking into the air. A lot of disturbing content like that. In fact, the title screen has a bunch of slime dripping, but in the original Japanese version, it was all blood. So because it is appropriately spooky for Halloween, but also a decent platformer, to be honest, that's my game, Monster Party.
Hunter, you're up.
My tonight's pick for the Retro Showdown is The Haunting, starring Poltergeist, released on the Sega Genesis in 1993 by Electronic Arts. In The Haunting, you take the role of Poltergeist, who is a totally rad 90s ghost who has a knack for scaring the pants off people. His victim this time around is the Sardinis. In the game, your main attack is to jump into household items set around the house called Frightums. Each Frightum is different and unique in its scare, and the items can be as common as a vacuum cleaner or a couch, or as strange as a TV's anchor man coming out of a television. To win the game, you must scare all of the Sardini members out of the house. Your life bar, or echo, depletes with each Frightum used. Once gone, you'll be sent back to the underworld, where you have to journey through a cavern of ghouls and goblins to refill your echo meter. After it's filled, you're sent back to the Sardinis to continue the fright. It has some of the scariest visuals ever seen in a video game. The game consists of 4 different houses that the Sardinis inhabit, each house consisting of different Frightums for your enjoyment. It's spooky, bloody, and it's downright frightening at times. It's fun, has a unique gameplay, and deserves your vote for the Retro Showdown.
Okay, I will put 2 minutes on for myself. And okay, my game I brought today is Silent Hill. The first Silent Hill was the most important horror game in the history of the genre. Released in 1999, Silent Hill took a genre dominated by B-movie jump scares and poor plots and provided a glimpse to future horror games. Silent Hill was different from most horror games because it put emphasis on psychological horror. The game shines in the moments of anticipation rather than the silly jump scares of most games. Fog in the early 3D games was a necessity to reduce the amount of polygons the system had to draw. In most games, this was a graphical fallback, but Silent Hill integrated this technical limitation into the gameplay and story. It heightened the fear because the player would not see enemies coming from far away. They would only be announced by the crescendo of the player's static blasting radio. The radio was not the only audio cue. The air raid siren now has a Pavlovian connection in many gamers' minds to a deep sense of foreboding. The siren would announce the player's impending descent into Otherworld, a hellish dimension of rust, wire, and rot. Silent Hill is a terrifying entry in the world of horror games. It crafts an experience laden with psychological horror that will stick with the player long after they have quit the game in terror. That is my pitch. Did I scare the pants off you?
The Mummy!
It's terrible. Stop it. It's terrible.
Come on, guys. Not as good as the Juggernaut?
No, it will never be as good as the Juggernaut.
At least my game wins. So,
your game.
I don't know about that one.
I've played your game quite a bit.
See, it's so good.
No,
Hunter likes it.
It's not because it's so good. It's riddled with issues. Like, the hit detection, it's terrible. The game doesn't make any damn sense. That's the problem. It's not that it's frightening. It's bizarre to the point of, like, who gives a damn? You know, like, you fight a shrimp as one of the bosses. Like, how high do you have to be to come up with that kind of an idea for a boss battle?
The bosses are pretty crazy. There's some that threaten to eat Mark's soup or say things like, you know, just, I can't even remember, but they say things. They'll put baby at the end of things, and there's one boss where there's no boss in the room, or they'll apologize for dying, and oh, they're hilarious.
I thought we were trying to say that it was scary, because everything you described there sounded not scary.
Well, if I start describing them as scary, I'll scare myself. But just trust me, the visuals and the enemy designs are horrifying as well. Like those legs sticking out of the ground and kicking at you, that's disturbing. That sticks with me a lot longer than Silent Hill.
Yeah, a shrimp turning into an onion ring. Man, that is terrifying.
That's unnatural.
I cannot go to Chinese buffets anymore. I am too scared.
Amen.
It's never again.
Petrifying stuff. Yeah.
Just to continue with the destruction of Bailey's game, there's nothing more frightening to me than a guy named Mark turning into a... what is it that he turns into? All I know is that it's named Bert. So either it's turning into a Sesame Street character or an 80-year-old man. Which is it?
It's both, I think. Bailey?
That sounds creepy to me. I'd be creeped out if some young kid was turning into an 80-year-old man. But no, he's a flying, fire-breathing monster.
I think the worst thing about this game is that it promotes bad parenting.
How do you figure?
The intro consists of Mark walking home after a baseball game. Why wasn't his parents there? Why didn't they take him home? Why is he just casually strolling down the sidewalk in the, you know, the dead of night? And this creepy, I don't even know what the hell he is, Bert, the Sesame Street character, comes flying down and he's okay. It's no big deal. This is bizarre. This is beyond bizarre. This isn't scary.
You just said it was creepy. You just 5 seconds ago said it was creepy.
Creepy to the point of being in Mark's position when he's walking home alone after a baseball game. Why don't his parents love him?
This entire story just reeks of like some kind of psychological wool pulled over the kid's eyes so that way he doesn't remember all these terrible repressed memories. I mean, he was walking home alone, so obviously his parents don't care. And a gargoyle alien named Bert requests assistance in ridding evil monsters from his realm, Dark World, also known as, "Hey, kid, jump in my white van and we'll go to Happy Town."
Right? Isn't that disturbing? I mean, you just said yourself it's a psychological tale. You're admitting that a decade before Silent Hill, Monster Party was exploring the depths of the darkness of the human mind. The absence of his parents forms a really dark backstory.
No, I think it just wasn't around his parents because he's so 90s rad.
Well, all I know is I think it's good parenting to let your kid have a baseball bat if there's monsters roaming around because it serves him well throughout the game.
How would they know?
I don't think they knew the monsters were coming.
No, because they just left him. They don't care about him. You're playing a shattered dream of a boy. I don't want to do that. That's not fun.
I don't think I can take commentary on young men seriously when your game, Hunter, features a green-skinned, mohawked ghost.
Okay,
over-radical.
Hold on. It's not a mohawk. It's a flat top. There's a difference.
Okay. A flat
top. He is right.
Top.
It is a flat top.
You got me there, Hunter.
Damn, the Juggernaut got you.
The mummy.
No, dude, my game is terrifying. Some of the scares are terrifying. It's some
terrible.
Of the scares are seriously creepy as hell.
I think the scariest part of your game is that they actually thought that spending the money to trademark Poltergeist was a good business decision.
I don't know who made the game. Electronic Arts, probably easily the biggest third party developer as of now. Yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah, and they're really milking that haunting cash cow.
No, they're waiting for the whole, you know, the whole sports thing to die out, and then they're gonna go back to their roots.
I'm looking at the box art right now, and I love how excited they are to accentuate the 86% score that the game received from Mean Machines magazine. 86%. It must be so proud.
Yeah, dude, that's a lot. 86%.
Not really. I wouldn't put such a low score on my box. I'd be like, it's 95s on there, 98, 100. But that's the best they could do. Of all the dozens of outlets they gave this game to, the one weirdo at Mean Machine Magazine who really enjoyed this game, he's like, oh, yeah, it's an 86. They're like, okay, well, we got to go with his because his was the only positive review.
Also of note, Mean Machine stopped printing in 1992. Before the internet went and killed all the magazines. So I'm not going to take their advice.
Wait, no, that's not right.
Yeah, man. Mean Machines, I'm on Wikipedia right now. Final issue, number 24, September 1992.
And besides, Hunter, you were talking about the plot of the game and what Poltergeist does. And you said he, and I quote, goes around scaring the pants off people. That just sounds inappropriate. Is he sexually assaulting people in this game? Just tearing their pants right off?
The black leather jacket and the white shirt and the mischievous grin with the silly OK symbol sign on the box really, really doesn't add to Hunter's defense of this game.
Yeah.
He's rad. It's the 90s. What were you wearing in the 90s?
Not that.
Well, I mean, I had my leather jacket and white t-shirt on. That's the Fonz, man.
The 1990s may have been good for American economics, but not for American style and culture. I don't think emphasizing the 90s-ness of this game is going to help you out here. That's a negative trait.
Okay, so if you're concentrating on the character of Poltergeist, you're focusing too much on one aspect of the game. The best part about this game is that there was no other game like this at the time. Where you can physically, your objection is to scare the family with the most creepiest ways imaginable.
Example?
Oh, probably the creepiest one. So you go into this closet, and then when you jump back out, one of the Sardini family members will walk over to it, and the door will start to spin. And on the other side of the door is a guy with a trash bag over his head and a noose around his neck, and he's tacked up onto the door. That's creepy as hell. Come on.
So he walks over to a closet door, and there's some guy tied to it with the trash paper bag over his head.
Yeah, it's like an illusion. He's making illusions to scare the family out of the house. It's not even real. Do you want it to be real? That's creepy. I don't want that shit to be real.
Who is the guy that was hung up? Was it another lame mascot of Electronic Arts that they left to die just like Poltergeist after this video game?
Yeah, it was Madden. It was John Madden.
Football.
Okay, let's talk about your game, Andrew.
All right, I'm ready to listen about how great it is.
So you stated that they use the fog to their advantage.
That is true.
No, it was a limitation by the console. The 64 had it as well. That's not good. That's designing a game that's terrible. You can't say, oh, no, they're coming out through the fog. No, of course it's coming out through the fog. There's nothing we could do about the fog. That doesn't make it scary. That's like saying the Turok is scary on the 64 because you see guys coming out of the fog. No, that's a limitation of the system. That's just bad programming.
It is a combination of the radio and the fog that makes that effect. You could have something like Resident Evil where everything is sectioned off and you have these moments of respite where you go, okay, there's a new doorway. Now I don't have to worry about it. But when you know that there's something out there and something is coming, and when it comes out of the fog, that's when it's scary. Because you know it's coming, but you don't know where it's coming from, but you know that it's just outside your cone of vision. That's why things like Slender Man are so terrifying because you know he's there. And Slender Man has been super popular.
The movie wasn't. The movie was terrible.
There's a movie?
Really?
Huh?
The Mummy!
The Juggernaut!
The Queen of France!
I mean, they try to do the weird thing with the camera angles, like somebody's watching you, and you know, and you've already got the stupid tank controls. You can't even figure out how to walk with the damn thing, and you got these stupid askew camera angles. That's not fun. That's not scary. It's just it's nerve wracking.
And Andrew, the thing is,
Go ahead.
Even if Silent Hill represents the developer's attempt to make up for the shortcomings of the hardware draw distance by emphasizing the fog as an in-game mechanic, newsflash, nobody likes the fog. Everybody hates that.
Yeah, so incorporating it into your game as a necessity is a bad, bad move.
All right. Yeah. So let's just say that let's assume that the fog is a bad idea. Why has it been a recurrent theme in every single Silent Hill game to date?
Because you can't get away from it.
What do you mean?
Because the developers can't bring themselves to admit that the only reason they did the fog was because of the draw distance. They didn't want to do it, and they wouldn't do it today, except that if they didn't do it, everyone would realize what shills they are for doing it originally.
Because nothing else is scary in the game.
No. You have to build around whatever platform you're building for. So if you're building on something like iOS, you build something that is portable. You build something that you can pick up and play in a little bit amount of time. You got to work within the technical restraints of the platform you're working on. They took the limitations of the PS1 and made it an advantage to them. And it's proven that it's an advantage because they continue to repeat the same things over and over again.
So if I'm following your line of thinking correctly, you think that repeating the same thing over and over again is a mark of the high quality of something? Because I have to tell you, Andrew, there's a lot of things that people have done throughout history over and over and over and over again that are awful, horrible things. Just because something is repeated does not mean that it is good.
Yeah, but you don't have people lining up on day one to buy Genocide.
But you have people committing it generation after generation, over and over, continent by continent.
Let us see exactly what leaps of logic, which leaps and bounds of logic you have taken here. You've said that because Silent Hill, the fog, is something that they repeat iteration after iteration, that's comparable to Genocide?
No.
Copyright Eric Bailey, 2012, he said it.
I think we just got a title for the show.
Eric Bailey, copyright Genocide. No, but my point is Genocide is an example of something that's repeated, but it doesn't make it good because it's repeated. So you can't use the argument of repetition to say that the fog is good just because they do it over and over. That's all I'm saying.
That's not comparable, though. Like if you were saying, I can't even think of an example because that's so ridiculous.
Hunter, you understand what I'm saying, right?
You got to bring it down to a video game level, man. You're going a little above and beyond right now.
Yeah.
Like you're stretching because your game's terrible. No, I see what you're saying, but what I was thinking was like, okay, Street Fighter. Okay, Street Fighter or Fighting Street or whatever the first Street Fighter was called. Terrible. God awful game, right?
Road Punch, I think it is.
It don't matter. It was terrible. So Street Fighter 2 comes out and it's a brand new platform. It's a brand new iteration. They started from scratch. They made a game that works. Now, let's jump ahead, I don't know, 6 years? And now we're playing Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Champion Edition Ultra Mega Battle Boss Mode Select? Not a good idea. Not a good game.
That's the episode title right there.
But because they continue to make super epic mega hyper turbo edition and people still buy it though. They have to be doing something right or else people wouldn't buy it.
No, that's implying that human beings are good or smart. Human beings are dumb just because a million people, you know how many people watch Jersey Shore? Millions. It doesn't mean that it has any merit or that it's worth defending. you can't look to the popularity or the repetition of something to say that it's good.
Hey, you can't listen to the trolls, Andrew.
Okay, look, even if everything you said was correct, which it's not, but even if it was, you're still leaning on the fog as your selling point, and that's that's laughable.
I'm not leaning on the fog exclusively. There were more points. There is the radio. There's the psychological horror. There is how all of the enemies have some kind of relation to the main character on a different level than just, oh, look, there's a big meat guy coming at me. Better get out of the way.
So in your game, the protagonist has a radio. In Poltergeist, you just have various objects throughout the household. In my game, you get to carry around a baseball bat.
Obviously, yeah, because baseball bats are scary.
You want to say that to my face when I'm holding one?
Sure.
All right. Well, we'll make that happen sometime.
I'm on the next plane out. Right. Do you even have a baseball bat?
Aluminum.
Wait, well, that doesn't count.
I thought.
What doesn't count?
Like, that's not a baseball bat.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
See, I was under the impression that upon birth, all Americans were given a baseball bat and a handgun.
That's not too far from the truth.
Sadly, it's not.
It's really not.
It's really not.
Very easy to get a gun around here.
And the siren isn't scary. It's annoying.
The siren, oh, amen.
The siren is a portent for fear.
No, it's
stupid.
It's a poor man's scare tactic.
No, yeah. Poor man's scare tactic, says the guy who goes and says, oh, there's someone in the closet.
That's true. He's got
not just the closet. You can go into the couch. You can go into the TV and have the anchor man bust out of it.
Into the couch?
You can go into the couch.
Oh, man, I'm so scared.
You can go into the trunk of a car. You can go into a workbench and turn it into a casket.
Why did they even bother calling this Haunting starring Poltergeist? Why didn't they just call it, hey, we put something in your couch starring Poltergeist?
Yeah, just call it random crap around the house.
Because you're haunting them. You're a ghost. What do you mean, why is it called Haunting? Really?
Maybe, okay, alternative names. Maybe Eric and I, or Bailey and I, can go back and forth. Hey, this isn't supposed to be here. Starring Poltergeist.
Poltergeist. He'll turn your workbench into a coffin. The creative carpenter.
Hey, I mean, starring Poltergeist.
Oh, that one was good. Let's see.
No, it's not. These are terrible.
The Green Meanie cooking porks and beanies.
I think it's done. It's over. Oh, it's over. It's done.
that joke is bankrupt.
Yeah.
He's just in your kitchen and he's. But see, that joke was bad, yeah? That was a really bad joke, right?
Okay, how about this?
And yet the entire game leans on him being called Poltergeist.
No, it doesn't.
In itself,
it's just the name of the character. He's just the name of the character.
And it's an awful name. Bad name.
Okay, and Mark is so much better with his buddy Bert.
Mark is an excellent name, and Bert is also a great name. What do you have against Bert?
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's not as unique as Poltergeist. Do you know anybody else named Poltergeist? No.
No, and for good reason.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. You heard me.
Bailey, why is the Japanese name for your game Parody World : Monster Party?
Because the only way that kids would play this is if they weren't completely frightened out of their impressionable little minds. So they had to call it Parody World. To take it down a notch.
Okay.
I don't believe that.
Not sure if I'm buying that.
No.
Well, that's what I'm selling, so it's up to you.
Does your game have a two-player mode?
Nope.
Andrew, does your game have a two-player mode?
Yes. The first one is that the first person plays on the couch, and then as many people as you want huddle around the couch and are terrified.
Oh, you know what? Monster Party has that too. I take my answer back.
Nope, it doesn't.
Player mode.
Nope. Okay, well, my game has a built-in two-player mode.
Mine has 14, so whatever.
Built in.
Built around.
My game is the only, like, legitimately scary game. Like, Andrew's game's scary because the hardware was crap. Your game's not scary because it's just too bizarre to be anything else.
Have you seen those legs poking out of the ground?
It's not scary. It's bizarre, Bailey.
But how can... Well,
bizarre is a step closer to scary than Poltergeist, the bad pun.
No, it's bizarre to the point of weird.
Your
Hunter, how can your game be scary when you are the one pulling the scares on someone else.
Have you seen the scares? They're terrifying.
But you're the one who crafted them. You're like, okay, I'm going to put this scare here, and there it's going to get him.
Yeah, but you're not prepared for him as a player. Yeah, Poltergeist knows what's going on.
I'm going to move the refrigerator into the living room. I'm going to put the dog into the toilet. I'm going to put the bookshelf in the bathroom.
I'm going to rearrange your cutlery drawer.
Ooh, I'm going to organize your socks.
No, actually, the dog is one of your enemies because he can see you. He barks at you.
So is that it? Like,
well, he makes the rest of the he barks at you, and he makes the family aware of that there's a, you know, a evil presence around.
Oh, I've been vanquished. The dog got verbally abusive.
It barked at me. Oh no. Oh, Andrew, hold me.
That's true. Animals have a spiritual connection.
Man, now I'm not going to be able to go and put the coffee pot on top of the fridge.
Oh,
stupid dog.
Honey, what did you do with my keys? I can't find them. It's like a ghost misplaced them or something.
They're in your opposite pocket.
Oh, I'm scared. Oh, maybe the dog can help me. It seems to be barking at something. It's horrifying, right?
Wow, you guys are taking this like...
You just got mummified.
Wow.
But seriously, though, Monster Party's crap.
It's pretty...
What? No. It's fun, guys. Just play it. It's fun. And scary. Fun and scary. That's what we're going for. Okay, and I think the game was fun.
You described it as fun twice, whereas I would use the primary adjective as mine, as scary. Not fun.
Well, it has to be both. If your game is a little scary, but not fun at all, it sucks.
Mine, you can describe something as entertaining or valuable, but you can't describe it as fun, because Super Mario Brothers is fun.
Well, you could describe something as being purple or festering or tall, but in my case, I'm calling my game scary and fun, and your game is crap.
You just went off the syntactic deep end again.
Yeah, it's what I do.
That's his argument, usually. Or he'll make fun of your mother. That's usually the other one.
Yeah, if I ever meet anyone's mother, it's going to be really awkward.
What'd you say to me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Now, see, that would be a scary game.
I'd be almost as scary as The Haunting starring Poltergeist. Almost.
I like how you say the full title. Like, it's really going to make it sound scary. Yeah, it's almost as scary as The Haunting starring Poltergeist. That radical dude.
What's definitely not as scary as Parody World. Parody World.
You're right, because it's scarier. What you said.
Parody World sounds like a discount comedy show.
Andrew, your game is called Silent Hill.
And the
movie, because it's a Silent Hill, because people are dead there.
No, you were emphasizing the sound cues, like the radio and the siren. The
movie
game
was terrible.
It's neither silent nor hill.
Movie was terrible.
Movie's bad. Movie's terrible.
Movie's terrible.
Yeah. Movie's terrible. Well, it's better than most video game movies. Can we say that at least? Guys, Super Mario Brothers movie was crap.
Yeah, but Silent Hill was worse than both Mortal Kombat movies.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. So
yeah, I don't agree with that either.
Really? All right.
I liked Mortal Kombat. I thought
well, that's why I'm saying it was Mortal Kombat was better than Silent Hill. All right. So, Andrew, closing argument: why Silent Hill? Why should people vote for it?
You should vote for Silent Hill because it is an excellent game that defined a genre for years to come.
Hunter, why should they vote for Poltergeist?
Actually, it's The Haunting starring Poltergeist, because you can't mess with Poltergeist. You just can't. He could turn your CD player to a robot that shoots bullets. He could turn your pantry into a portal to outer space where a spaceship comes flying at you and drops a dead grandfather out of a grandfather clock. You can't mess with Poltergeist.
And you should vote for Monster Party because it is truly disturbing, like all kinds of interdimensionally disturbing. And it's a fun platformer. I'm counting on listeners to draw back on their old school memories and fondly remember the game, but it's also a great game to try for the first time. So that's the Retro Showdown. Quick shout outs now to Ben Landis for letting us use his tracks for the intro and outro. He does good work. You can follow him at TheBenLandis on Twitter. And always check out onemorecastle.com, and you can find our Facebook and Twitter links right on the website. The interlude artist was Mega Beardo with his Mega Man 2 remix of the Crash Man theme, and there's going to be a download link to that track right on the website for you to enjoy. Remember to vote for the Retro Showdown game that you think is the best, hopefully based on our arguments. And Andrew, Hunter, do either of you have anything to plug tonight?
You can check me out on Twitter at Eric Hunter, or my website is ericmhunter.net.
You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is arcadeerrorwin, and you can tweet at me if there's any problems with the site, or if you just want to say hi.
Cool. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Nintendo_legend, and I enjoy interacting there. And join us next week. Happy Halloween, and remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.